Thank you, Steve. You caught me out, Steve. I thought you were going to pray. Anyway, it's good to be back. For those who... Inspired. If you're from Inspired, they're waiting for you. Sorry? Oh, in Creche. And if you're from Creche, probably don't want to listen to me either. It's time to go. Thank you. Yeah, it's great to be back. And as you heard from John, exciting things happened while we were away. My future son-in-law. And it's nice to be singing English songs, which we can understand. But we had a fantastic time in Colombia. And God really met with each one of us. So anyway, I'm going to talk today, and my message is the God of more. I don't know if we could have that up there. Oh, thanks very much. The God of more. And I was in the middle of listening to Dan speak, and we had to go, so I didn't complete that talk. And when I came back, it wasn't there. But I understand it was really good, and James last week was really good. In fact, it always seems to me that when Jackie and I aren't here, things are brilliant here. So, you know, I just think we need to be away a little bit more often, maybe. We'll hang around a bit. But I appreciate I've got a hard axe to follow, which is good. So anyway, I want to talk about the God of more, and I want to read from Matthew 25 and verse 14. We're going to start. It's quite a long passage. Again, the kingdom of heaven can be illustrated by the story of a man going on a long trip. He called together his servants and entrusted his money to them while he was gone. He gave 5 bags of silver to one, 2 bags of silver to another, and 1 bag of silver to the last, dividing it in proportion to their abilities. He then left on his trip. The servant who received the 5 bags of silver began to invest the money and earned 5 more. The servant with 2 bags of silver also went to work and earned 2 more. But the servant who received the 1 bag of silver dug a hole in the ground and hid their master's money. After a long time, their master returned from his trip and called them to give an account of how they had used his money. The servant to whom he had entrusted the 5 bags of silver came forward with 5 more and said, "Master, you gave me 5 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 5 more." The master was full of praise. "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." The servant who had received the 2 bags of silver came forward and said, "Master, you gave me 2 bags of silver to invest, and I've earned 2 more." The master said, "Well done, my good and faithful servant. You have been faithful in handling this small amount, so now I will give you many more responsibilities. Let's celebrate together." Then the servant with the 1 bag of silver came and said, "Master, I knew you were a harsh man, harvesting crops you didn't plant and gathering crops you didn't cultivate. I was afraid I would lose your money, so I hid it in the earth. Look, here is your money back." But the master replied, "You wicked and lazy servant. If you knew I harvested crops I didn't plant and gathered crops I didn't cultivate, why didn't you deposit my money in the bank? At least I could have got some interest on it." Then he ordered, "Take the money from this servant and give it to the one with the 10 bags of silver. To those who use well what they are given, even more will be given, and they will have an abundance. But from those who do nothing, even what little they have will be taken away." So, I want to talk about the God of more. I don't know if you noticed, but God is always looking for more. He's the God of expansion, of multiplication, of harvest. In the natural, the universe continues to expand. I don't know how old the universe is. I'm not going to make a suggestion here, especially with the creation talk coming up. But it's still expanding. And in the spiritual realm, he says of the kingdom, of the increase of it, there's never going to be an end. It goes on increasing forever and ever. But the church, on the other hand, I've noticed we can settle and we can be satisfied. But the church of the New Testament turned their world upside down. Whole villages, towns, and households responded to the gospel. And that's our call too, to impact and transform nations with the gospel of Jesus. We must not settle. There's more. We must, like Paul says in Philippians, press on to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of me. And that's what I really want to bring to you today, that we press on to take hold of that for which Christ has taken hold of us. In this story, the master gives out 5 gifts to one person, 2 gifts to another, and 1 to a third person. But again, you'll notice multiplication is in his genes. Increase is in his DNA. He expects fruit. In fact, that's what we're going to be judged on. Not how much did you produce, but what did you do with what I've given you? He's not looking for the same return from all of us, but he's looking for a return on his investment, on that which he's given us. And so the ones with 5 and 2 gifts, did you notice they both received the same commendation? The one that gave 5 more received exactly the same commendation as the one that gave 2 more. And they received the commendation because there was increase, because they had used that which God had given them. Well done, my good and faithful servant. And so the first point I want to make is, don't compare. The amount of fruit produced is not the question. The size of the other person's gift or ministry is not relevant. Pastor Caesar may have a church of 200,000 in Bogota, and someone else may have a church of 200. But the question is, have you been faithful with what he's given you? And if the pastor of 200 has used his gifts faithfully, then he's going to receive the same commendation as the pastor with 200,000. But let's notice, being faithful produces fruit. Faithfulness precedes fruitfulness. In Genesis, we read of the commission given to the first couple. We see it again. It expresses the heart and the expectation of God for each one of us. This is what Genesis says. So God created human beings in his own image. We're like God. In the image of God, he created them. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them and said, be fruitful and multiply, fill the earth and govern it. We've been created in his image. We have been made like God. We've been created to rule and to govern, but also to increase and to fill, to multiply and be fruitful. And I want to say Jesus is always looking for fruit. Do you remember the story of the fig tree? We were reminded about it at the sanctification weeks. Jesus comes looking at this fig tree and it's full of leaves. And the leaves to me talk about activity and busyness and yes, maybe life. But he's looking for more than leaves. He's looking for figs. He's looking for fruit. And I want to say LifeSpring, he's looking for fruit. And I thank God there is fruit being produced. It's not that there's nothing happening, but he's the God of more. And he's looking for harvest. He's looking for even more. In fact, the blessing of God, if you noticed, is fruitfulness and multiplication. In the Bible, barrenness was seen as a curse. Did you know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob all had barren wives? And yet Abraham was given these great promises of descendants too many to count will come from him. And it was repeated to Isaac, his son, and it was repeated to Jacob. Promises of descendants too great to number. But each one had to look to God for the miracle, because in the natural, it wasn't going to happen. But with God, barrenness became fruitfulness. He's the God of miracles. He's the God of miracles. And today I'm grateful to the Lord for LifeSpring. I'm grateful for this building, for all that's been done here and all that happens here. But I want to remind you, this is not it. He's the God of more. He's the God of more. We may be even one of the bigger churches in Reading. We may have more sales than many others. We are reaching out more and more. His presence can be felt so tangibly at times, and that's all good. But he's the God of more. And I'm not settling, because he wants to do so much more among us. I got back into the office on Friday. We arrived back from Columbia on Thursday. And James said to me, they'd had the night of prayer, or the 24 hours of prayer. And James said to me, to Chris, share with Dad what you saw, what God showed you that evening. And so I just want to read this vision from the Father, received at 10 past 1 in the morning, up there in the projection room. And this is what Chris had written out. A mighty tree will rise up from this church. Mighty and deep are the roots. People will eat of the fruit produced from the tree. This fruit will heal, replenish, break chains, bring joy, restore faith, give hope, and restore peace and love for one another. We are that mighty tree, each and every one of us, through the power of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And from that tree will grow a mighty orchard through this nation, bearing much needed fruit. Wow. I wanted Chris to come and share that, but he is pointing out it's God that gave it and it's not him. But Chris was telling me, I was so frightened. This vision was so clear. I've never had something like this happen to me before. And there was like trembling in as he was telling me what he saw. And when he read it to me, there was a resonating in my heart, because he's the God of more. And many of us will think, that cannot be. That is not possible. That's why I want to address it today. But he's the God of more. And he's got bigger plans than you realize, for you and for us and for each one of us. I'd like you to turn to your neighbor and say, that tree is me. Can you do that? That tree is me. And also say this to the neighbor on the other side, I'm called to heal, to break chains, and to bring joy. I'm called to heal, to break chains, and to bring joy. Does that sound like God? Does that sound like God's got a plan for you and for us? I think it just fits in wholly, completely with what God is wanting to do among us here at LifeSpring. But there are many barriers and obstacles, just as there were for Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, which need to be overcome. And most of those barriers, even as I was reading that, and even as some of you said that, not with faith, but just because I asked you to do it, barriers in the mind come immediately to quench and to prevent the fulfillment of God's plans and purposes. Do you know what? I asked that we sang that song, God of Miracles, and they sang it so brilliantly. I loved it. Thank you. But as we were singing it, I was just thinking to myself, there's only one thing that stops God working. Unbelief. Only one thing that stops him bringing healing. A lack of faith. A lack of belief. Do you remember Jesus? He came to Capernaum. He'd healed in the villages, and he came to where people knew him and recognized him. Well, he's just Joseph's son. Isn't he the builder? What good comes from Nazareth? And scripture says that even Jesus couldn't do many miracles in that environment. Yeah, the King of Kings, the God of miracles, couldn't do miracles where there was that unbelief. And I want you to hear my heart today. I heard Penny sing, Help My Unbelief. I'm with you, Penny. I believe in you, though. You're the God of miracles. We need to declare it. We need to speak it out. Whatever the situation that we're in, I believe in you. I believe you can break the chains. I believe you can raise the dead. I believe you can heal the sick. I can believe you can sort out the finances. I believe you can restore this relationship. I believe you can bring my family back. Whatever it is, he's the God of miracles. And he's the same today as he was yesterday and forever. And that's why I love that song. We just need to declare it out. I believe in you. I believe in you. I'm not seeing it happen right now in front of my eyes. But I still believe in you because you're the God of miracles. And even if it hasn't happened this moment, I know it could happen in the next half hour. I know it could happen this evening. I know it could happen tomorrow because you are the God of miracles. And we're putting our trust and our faith in him. And I think some of us need to hear that, not just with those sort of situations, but with what God wants to do in your life and what he wants to do in our lives. Don't rule yourself out. Don't be like that third servant. Don't think, I've got nothing to offer. I've got nothing to contribute. God's expecting far too much from me. No, no, don't be like that. Change your mind and say, I believe. You're the God of miracles, and you can do amazing things through me. It's not my work, it's your power working through me. I believe that's what God wants to encourage us with this morning. So there may be obstacles, there may be barriers. And I say most are in our mind, but he's the God of more. He's the God of abundance. He's the God of harvest. And as we look around the UK, we see the church in decline. Fact. It's true. Christian values, which shaped our laws and society for generations, are becoming eroded and replaced. Fact. It's true. But God's not forgotten the UK. He has a plan for you and for us together. As I was thinking about that, I was reminded of the story of Abraham from Romans, how Paul puts it in Romans. This is what he says. So Abraham, he's received the promise. This is what the scriptures mean when God told him, I've made you the father of many nations. When did God tell Abraham that? When he didn't have any children. He changed his name. You're the father of many nations. God was calling into being what didn't exist in the natural, but he saw where the future was going. I've made you the father of many nations. This happened because Abraham believed in the God who brings the dead back to life and who creates new things out of nothing. Even when there was no reason for hope, Abraham kept hoping, believing that he would become the father of many nations. For God had said to him, that's how many descendants you'll have. And Abraham's faith did not weaken, even though at about 100 years of age, he figured his body was as good as dead, and so was Sarah's womb. Abraham never wavered in believing God's promise. I look at the UK, and it's easy to waver. I look at the state of the church, and it's easy to waver, but I want to stand on God's promise. He's the God of harvest. He's the God of abundance. He's the God of miracles. Amen. Amen. So let's look at the facts. Let's accept the facts, but we look to God. We look to God who's bigger than the facts, who can change the facts, whose truth can penetrate our hearts, and we can begin to call into being the things that are not as though they were. Amen. So we're beginning to see revival. We're beginning to see God moving. We're beginning to see cells growing. We're beginning to see our families changing because we believe in the God of miracles. Hallelujah. So like Abraham, but we believe Jesus, all things are possible. In Jesus' story, the first two servants received his commendation, but not the third. And my challenge to you today, to all of us today, is that we're not like the third servant, because the master is looking for fruit. He's looking for fruit from your life. He's looking for fruit from us as a church. And when he came to the third servant, he was less than impressed because there was nothing to show. In the story, it seems the servant had a wrong perception of God, of the master. He decided, it's impossible, it's too hard, I can't, I'm not good enough, I'm not worthy to be his servant. And do you know what? We can make all sorts of excuses. I've just got saved, I've still got addictions, I'm living in a non-Christian home. My spouse isn't yet a Christian. We can make all sorts of excuses. And we can believe all sorts of lies, but God's got a plan, and it's to bless you and prosper you and to cause you to be fruitful. And notice, by the way, that none of the gifts which were given to these individuals were for them. They all belong to the master. And all the fruit which was produced wasn't theirs either. That belonged to the master. It's not like an ownership thing here. It's all for Jesus. It's all for Jesus. Everything belongs to him. Hallelujah. So he's gifted me to make money for him. It belongs to him. He's gifted me to grow my cell. The disciples are his. He's gifted me to work among children and youth. They're all for him. The pavilion is his. Lifespring is his. All our cells are his. Our ministry is his. I want to say, businessman, give him your business. Give him your career. If you own a business, step down from being a director and say, Holy Spirit, you're going to be the executive director. I want to follow you. I want my business to reflect your values. I want it to be generous. I want it to be loving and serving in the work environment. I want my employees to be having the best employer in town because it's for you. And Holy Spirit, I want you to be in charge of my business. That's a gift, that's a ministry which he's given some of us. I believe he's got plans of abundance and harvest, but we have an enemy. And he's a defeated enemy, but he's got a loud voice. And we think he's powerful, but actually all authority is now Jesus's. But the trouble is we give him power by listening to him. And he says it's impossible. And we say, yes, I know. We listen to him more than we're listening to God. We hear Chris's vision. We think, that cannot be. How can Lifespring Church impact a nation? I've got no idea. But if that's his plan, I'm saying, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want to be part of that orchard. I want to be part of that orchard. I want to impact this nation with the kingdom of God. Rather than hearing and burying the gift, the word, which God's given us. You know what? We believe the lies from the enemy because he always wants less. Can you make it move on? I can't, it's not going. But God wants more. He wants us to settle. God wants us to keep moving on. Just before we left Colombia, we had 2 great weeks of meeting together. We called the weeks, Here's My Heart, Lord. Speak what is true. And today I want you to hear me. What I'm sharing, I believe, is a word from the Lord. The truth is, you have been called. You have been chosen. God has works for you planned even before you were born. Is that mentioned here? It was either mentioned here or in the prayer meeting earlier. He's adopted you. He's empowering you and anointing you. Of course, all that I've talked about is impossible in our own strength. But not with God. He's the God of miracles. I want to remind you of the words from a song. In fact, I'd like us to read this out together. Make that declaration. Can we do that? I am no victim. I live with a vision. I'm covered by the force of love. Covered in my Savior's blood. I am no orphan. I'm not a poor man, I think it should say. Where's that gone? The kingdom's now become my own, and with the king I've found a home. No place for victim mentality. We're chosen. Sons of the king. Hallelujah. Good things will come, bad things will come, but I'm not a victim. Paul tells us nothing, not even death, can separate us from the love of God. No place to live like an orphan. We've all been adopted. I love it. You know, Liz has chosen two, I don't think adopted or fostered, I'm not sure, but chosen 2 little boys out of, I don't know how many more there might have been out there, but Liz has said, I can't even remember the names, Connor and Bradley, I've chosen you to be part of my family. And that's what it's like with God. He looks at us, he's, I'm choosing you, Jamie. I'm choosing you, Christian. I'm choosing you, Amy. Be part of my family. He's adopted us into his family. Poor man, not me. He will provide for all my needs. I shall not be in want. Why? Let's go on with the song. Let's read this one out. Because I am who he says I am. He is who he says he is. I'm shaped by all his, defined by all his promises, shaped by every word he says. Isn't that a good confession to make? He's given us everything. His promises and his word need to shape our thinking. To Gideon and to Abraham, God prophesied over them their future. To Abraham, father of multitudes, even though he was childless in his old age. To Gideon, mighty warrior, when he felt like the least and the last and the lost. But God's words define their future. I want to say, church, let his promises, let his words shape who you are. Not circumstances, not what people have said in the past, not how you feel. We're going to stand on the word of God and live as children of God. Church, we need to believe it. The third servant didn't. He didn't think he'd ever be able to please his master. He felt like a victim, an orphan. So he buried his head in the sand and believed the lies. Let's make 2018 a year to remember. We'll draw a line on our past disappointments and believe God for more. More souls, more sales, more disciples, more influence, more anointing, more breakthroughs. He's the God of more. Just want to close with this thought. Why such confidence, you might say? Well, while we were in Bogota, we were singing in Spanish, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. And I felt I needed to come back and say to LifeSpring, he's the God of miracles, and he wants to do more through you than you realize, because he can. Because he can. More than you can imagine. Paul says in Ephesians, to him is able to do immeasurably more than we ask or think, according to his power working in us. To him be glory in the church. It's his power working through us that enables us to fulfill the works of God. So I want to say, don't be like that third servant. Open your heart, open your ears, and say, hear him say, there's more. You haven't seen anything yet. But the other thing I felt God say as we were singing that song was, turn the words around. It was God saying, I believe in you. I'm the God of miracles. I felt God was saying to us, I believe in you, LifeSpring. I'm the God of miracles. I've invested in you. I've imparted, I've anointed, I've released gift, I've released ministry. I believe in you. I'm the God of miracles. He believes in us. He believes in LifeSpring. He's called and chosen us. He's the God of miracles. It's not dependent on our ability, because he gives us that. It's dependent on our faithfulness and our response to him. Why don't you just turn to your neighbor and say, he believes in you. He believes in you. Say it a bit louder. He believes in you. He believes in you. God believes in you. He's the God of miracles. Hallelujah. Don't let shame, don't let disappointment, don't let fear of failure or unbelief rob you of what God's planned for you. That's a devil's strategy. But God wants to use you, and to use you much more than you realize. So let's respond to him today. Say, I believe in you. You're the God of miracles. You're the God of more. You can do anything. Nothing is too hard for you. And when Mary was given an impossible task to be the mother of Jesus, she said to the angel, well, how can these things be? How can these things be? Let's stand together. How can these things be? Well, they can be because the Holy Spirit will come upon us. The Holy Spirit will empower us. The Holy Spirit will enable us to be the messenger from God to a nation, to our friends, to bring the life, to break the chains, to bring the joy, to bring the release that God wants for this community. Lord, I want to thank you that you are the God of miracles and we believe in you. And I thank you, Lord, that you're the God of more. I thank you, Lord, that for each one of us, you have greater plans, more than we can imagine, more than we can think. It's not the time to retire. It's not the time to settle. It's the time, Lord, to call out to you and say, use me for more, to see more of your kingdom come, to see more of your will being done in my life, in my family, in this church, in the community, in the town, in the nation, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, I hear you say, I believe in you, LifeSpring Church. I believe in you. I'm the God of miracles. And we look to you, Lord, because of your confidence in us. We say yes and amen in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen.
Thanks for listening. To find out more about LifeSpring Church, please go to www.lifespringchurch.org.uk.